Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the Daily Jungle. Crazy, crazy weekend in the NFL. The Eagles are 8-1 after smashing the Broncos. Jameis Winston tried to eat a W, and A.J. Green dropped a rear naked choke on Jalen Ramsey. Plus, the Brock Lobster got picked off twice and still kept his job, and Urban Meyer got taken to the woodshed by Iowa. And we had a couple of excellent guests, Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman and Jalen Mills of the Eagles. Alvy, let's get it. Philadelphia 51, Denver 23. When Trevor Siemian threw three picks in a 10-point loss to the Chiefs on Monday night, the thinking was the Broncos had to make a move at quarterback. There's no way they could do any worse. So they brought in Brock Osweiler. And then he managed to do the impossible. He was worse. Two picks and a 28-point humiliation in Philadelphia. And the only reason it was that close was because Carson Wentz sat for nearly the final 10 minutes and because Von Miller strip-sacked his replacement, Nick Foles, and Brandon Marshall turned that into a score. Let's be honest, that game was way worse than 51-23. It was 44-9 at the end of the third quarter. 44-9 in a game between two NFL teams. And not just two NFL teams. Two NFL teams that had Super Bowl aspirations as of 6 weeks ago. Since then, Philadelphia has proven they're legit. Denver has proven, well, I'm not exactly sure what the hell they've proven. Other than the fact that the Brock Lobster is not the answer. But you know me. I'm a positive guy. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I've been waiting on that all morning, Alvy. What's up? Bring it. Dude, give me the lobster. I could jump in here and start carving the Brock Lobster for that clown show of a performance, but that's not what I'm about. I'm not that guy. Not when Carson Wentz is hanging four TDs on the Broncos defense. The no-fly zone just got a heavy dose of fly, Eagles, fly. Thanks, Avi. And the Broncos defense was pissed afterwards. You know, for so long, it's been easy to say, it's the offense. The defense did its job. Yeah, well, the defense didn't do its job. Not when they were hanging a half a century on them. Ask Derek Wolfe of the Broncos.
What else needs to be said? We got everyone out there and got our ass kicked. And it's sad because there's a lot of time and work and blood and sweat invested into this season. And to go out there and get our ass kicked like that really hurts.
Well, there was blood. There was lots of blood yesterday. Quote, we got our ass kicked. To go out there and get our ass kicked like that, it really hurts. As for the Broncos, they were hoping that the Brock Lobster would hit their team with the paddles. Instead, he put them in a sleeper hold. Instead of fixing the offense, it almost seems like he made their defense worse. And to think it all started off so well, Denver got the ball to open up the game. Osweiler led them on a field goal drive. Everything was right with the world until it wasn't, because Carson Wentz responded to that field goal with this.
Ajayi in the backfield. Three receivers left. Jeffrey right on first down. Ajayi gets, no, that's a fake. Pass to Jeffrey in for the touchdown.
There you go. 32 yards to Alshon Jeffrey. Now we've got ourselves a good old-fashioned quarterback battle. Two gunslingers just lighting it up, marching up and down the field in a battle of, can you top this? Yeah, not exactly. Because Denver started its next drive on their own 8. They worked their way back to the 5. Then they punted from the 10. Philly responded with a field goal, 10-3. But Denver's not out of it yet because they get the ball back and on first down. The Brock Lobster went Brock Lobster.
Brock Osweiler will operate under center and first down from the 25. Osweiler with a play fake, looks left, throws a pass right into the hands of a defender. This will be intercepted. Got in front of Demaryius Thomas and now down the sideline, forced out of bounds. That was Patrick Robinson, the 8-year cornerback out of Florida State.
Yeah, and this is what's been killing the Denver Broncos all season long, these types of turnovers.
Broncos radio. So Philadelphia, of course, punches that in for a TD. Ball game, thanks for coming. At that point, it wasn't a matter of whether Denver would lose, but by how much. And then Brock seemed determined to make that number as big as possible with plays like this.
Osweiler, 2x2 the set in the shotgun, pressured immediately, floats one as he gets hit, and this ball will be easily intercepted at the 39. Osweiler's second interception of the game, he got hit as he was falling backwards when he made the throw, and that was simply a punt that McLeod settled underneath.
Yeah, then again, if you were counting on Brock Osweiler to save your season, then that's on you, not on him. He's just doing his Brock Osweilerly best. And that's what you got. 8 for 21, 2 picks before garbage time rolled around. How bad was it? Head coach Vance Joseph said, quote, "I thought he did a pretty good job.
I thought Brock did a fine job. You know, Brock had a great week. I was proud of the week he had. He did a fine job. You know, obviously we had two more interceptions today that, you know, I don't like. But I have to go back and watch the tape and, you know, really get a feel for how Brock played."
Don't get it twisted. In this case, your head coach saying that you did, quote, a fine job does not actually mean that you did a fine job.
Fine job.
And you don't need to break down tape to know that it wasn't a fine job. In this case, Joseph is saying fine, and you know it's not fine. Kind of like when your significant other says that they're fine with one of your decisions. It's not fine. It couldn't be further from fine. The only good news is, at least Denver did not have to pay him for that. The Browns wrote him a fat check for that performance yesterday. So that's fine. But his performance wasn't.
Fine job.
Hey, Bronco fan, you were freaking out prior to this game. So how are you feeling about things right now? You were freaking out about your offense and your quarterback play, and then your defense goes out and gets torched. Now what? And can you tell me a team in the NFL that's got a worse quarterback situation? Well, aside from the Texans, and even then, maybe not. Can you tell me a team in the NFL that's got a worse quarterback situation than Denver? And then tell me who runs that team. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So at what point is this going to stick to John Elway? I'd say, I don't know, right now? They're a disaster. Bronco fan, I want your thoughts. Better yet, Philly fan, I want your thoughts. My man Mike Freeman's back. Mike, good morning. What's going on? How are you, Mike?
So I think we need to take a very quick second here, Jim, to thank someone. And the person I want to thank is Marshall Newhouse for the single greatest moment in the history of offensive line play, where he gives up a fumble, then picks up a fumble, then fumbles again, then gets helicoptered. I've watched that gif at least 700 times because I'm a loser with no life, but it's amazing. For people who haven't seen it, you have to go see it. So we can't begin your great show without that great moment. That is one of the best moments, not Hall of Fame play on the field, not some of these great linemen, not Anthony Munoz, Newhouse, Jim.
Mike Freeman, I'm so good. Mike, how about you? What's going on? How you living?
Everything's great, man.
Yeah, sure it is. That was an amazing thing, right? You ever see a dude like that get helicoptered like that? And do you think maybe, just maybe, he thought he was going to go house call with that?
He thought he was going to score.
You know he did.
And he was running so fast. I mean, that's a 300-pound dude. He had to be running like a 4.6. And he just got blasted. I got to give it to him, though.
Oh, you have to.
I love that.
No, no, my
right?
man.
I mean,
my man was living.
You don't get moments like that much in your career. It was so great.
No, he was living the dream. He was living the dream of every lineman. He was going to take that thing right to the house and run right through the locker room, into the street, and all the way home until it wasn't meant to be. Mike Freeman joining us. All right, Mike, I'm glad you started with that. Listen, if you and I had been talking last Monday, the day after Houston lost that thrower to Houston, or I said where the Texans lost, Deshaun Watson threw for 400 yards. He rushed for nearly 70 more. Had we had a conversation about that then, what would you have been saying about the remainder of the Texans season?
It's a great question, and I was at the Texas-Seattle game. I was covering that game, and it was one of the better regular season games I've ever seen, particularly with the quarterback play. Russell Wilson was great, but Deshaun Watson, a rookie, was outstanding, and you would have had to have said that this was a team that was really going to go places both this year and long term. I mean, because one of the things, Jim, as you know, that really has hampered the Texans is just their quarterback play has been so awful. They had guys like Brock Osweiler and some of these other dudes, but they had this terrific defense. And you saw, I mean, it's not perfect, but that defense was still very good. Now They had the quarterback. So this is a franchise that was this year going to go places and do some big things, and then he gets hurt, and it transforms everything. And I'll just say real quick, I mean, I don't know how, if you're the Texans, I mean, I know it won't happen, I know. But if you don't give Colin Kaepernick a call and at least work him out and try, he can really kind of save your season. And I know they're not going to do it, but it would be – it's such an obvious move and an obvious thing that would help really transform them back into a contender again for this year, because right now they're not winning anything with a quarterback play right now. They're just not.
Listen, these days, you can get practically everything on demand, such as our podcast. Listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. So let me ask you, why are you still going to the post office and dealing with their limited hours when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? Anything that you can do at the post office, you can now do right from your desk. As an example, the holidays are coming up. My wife, Janet, is all about the Christmas card. We send out hundreds, literally hundreds of Christmas cards, and there's no way we could do it without Stamps.com. I'm going to print my own postage. I'm going to do it when I want and do it at home. Trust me, with the holidays coming up, you should do the exact same thing, and you'll thank me for it. Go to Stamps.com, hit the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Jungle. That's Stamps.com. Enter Jungle for a special, special offer. A 4-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. You want to go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, hit the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Jungle. That's Stamps.com. Enter Jungle. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office ever again. I know I won't. Stamps.com. Mike Freeman joining us, and we're talking about quarterback play. They've got Tom Savage, Matt McGloin, TJ Yates, and every single time, Mike, a quarterback gets hurt or plays terribly, the issue does come up. Why is Colin Kaepernick not in the NFL right now? So right now, what is the answer to that question? Why isn't he?
The answer is the same as it was when this whole thing first started. It's a little more complicated now, but the guts of the problem remain the same, and that's how the NFL... A lot of the owners don't like what he did. They don't like the protest. They think he was being anti-American, anti-flag, anti-military, none of which is true. He was protesting. He was drawing attention to social justice issues. That was always the core of what he did. And in response to that, and even after he left, a lot of players took up the mantle and have done the same thing. It was never anything about anti-flag or anti-police. That's the guts of it. The collusion case he has against the league complicates matters, but even if there wasn't one, he still wouldn't sign. I think I've said on your show before, months ago, I didn't think he would play again. I've written this. I didn't think he'd play again, and I still kind of think that's the case. It's just the owners is just a bunch of old fuddy-duddies who don't want a guy like that in the organization. So that's the core. That's why he's still not playing. But these guys... Tim, look around the league at the quarterback play, some of it, and the guys that are playing it. It's a joke. So a lot of these owners who don't want to sign them, they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
I mean, you're spiting yourself over an issue that's not really an issue, and you're going to lose because of their stubbornness. And that's the case with the Texans.
Mike Freeman joining us. He's a Bleacher Report NFL National lead writer. Mike, I got to pick my spots because we don't have a ton of time and there's so many things to cover. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anything like A.J. Green taking down Jalen Ramsey the way he did?
I've never seen anything like that. And I don't think I've ever seen like a jiu-jitsu chokehold move in the NFL before. There's something I may not be remembering. But A.J. Green's one of those guys that if you picked a guy or if you had a list of guys that said who would do that, he'd be at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. He's a very laid back guy who doesn't say much, doesn't cause a lot of trouble, and then he goes out there and does that. And I'll say this real quick. There was a lot of fights this weekend.
There were.
And I don't know if it's just, I don't know what it is, but this season has been a lot of that stuff. More than I've seen in recent years. So everybody's getting their fight on, Jim.
And seemingly a lot of it, Mike, from the Bengals. So much so you had this amazing tweet yesterday, quote, "If the Bengals fought as hard to win games as much as they cheap shot dudes, they'd be the Patriots," end quote. Why do you think, and well done, Mike, well done, why do you think that is with the Bengals? What's going on?
There's been, as good as Marvin Lewis has been as a coach, he's been pretty good. There's been a lack of sort of institutional control there, and Lewis has never been able to corral some of the stronger personalities. Perfect is a really big-time case of that. He's just never been able to do it. It's just been a freewheeling kind of locker room, which in some cases is good, and in some cases, as we've seen with them, is bad. You just, there's a line you can approach, but if you cross it, you get suspended, you get fined, you lose control of your locker room, and he's never had a full control of his locker room. I think the players really like him, but I think when he's talked to them about being disciplined, they tune him out. I mean, you don't see this stuff happening with the Patriots. You don't see it happening with the Eagles. You don't see a lot of stuff happening with a lot of really successful franchises, but Marvin has never been able to sort of corral that problem.
Mike Freeman joining us for a couple of more moments. He is a Bleacher Report NFL National lead writer. He is the author of numerous books as well. Mike, before you go, I want to get your thoughts on Carolina and Cam Newton. Carolina beats Atlanta yesterday. They've won two straight, but when you look at Cam Newton over the course of this season, what exactly do you see? Does he seem like the guy that he was when he won the NFL MVP award 2 years ago?
I see a guy, and I know people around the league I talk to see a guy who they think of, I think incredibly highly of him as a player. Just looking at him as a football player and nothing else, I think of him as a really, really talented guy who has mostly been ill-served by his front office and has taken some unbelievable shots constantly, physically, just battered. And I see him wearing down. And around the league, guys see him wearing down as well. Can he change that, Jim? He can change that. He can. And he's still young enough. He can still play in this league a long time. But you've seen a guy where I think the wear and tear is finally starting to get to him. But he is still so dynamic. Some of the plays he made yesterday, he continues to make, are amazing. If you could just put more explosive guys around him and have him sit in the pocket a little bit more, it would be a lot better for him. But they haven't been able to do that. And eventually that physical toll, as you know, Jim, eventually that catches up to you, especially for a guy who takes the kind of shots that he does.
I mean, Mike, finally, is it already catching up? I mean, it seems ridiculous to suggest that maybe he's past his prime when he's only 28. But as you point out, this guy's taken a terrific pounding. When you consider the number of shots that he has taken, is there more mileage on him than your typical 28-year-old quarterback? And could he be on the decline already?
Yeah, I think that's true. You don't see a lot of quarterbacks really take the kind of shots consistently that he does. A lot of it is his style of play. He's a running quarterback. He hits the edges a lot. He's a huge guy, so he takes a lot of shots. But also, he's because he doesn't have a lot around him. They're trying to change that a little bit with Christian McCaffrey and some other guys, but because he doesn't have a lot around him in general, the entire offense is pretty much on him, and he bears the brunt of it. He's aging in dog years. Even by football standards, he's aging very, very rapidly. But you just hope that they can put guys around him and protect him better, and then maybe he can last a little longer.
Right. So yesterday, to me, was a very weird day in the NFL. In fact, it's actually been a pretty weird season in the NFL, but weird is good. I like weird. You want weird? Let me give you an example of weird. How about this really bizarre pregame speech from Tampa Bay quarterback Jameis Winston?
After I say one thing, I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight? How many want to eat a W tonight?
Yeah, boy. Come in.
That's
not all. I mean, this is so good. You need to go see this. It sounds pretty good, but it looks incredible. If you haven't seen it, and you can actually hear it. Now, if I tell you what it is, you can listen for it and you can hear it. But if you haven't seen it, he's licking his fingers that are shaped like a W, and he's saying that he wants to eat a W tonight. Listen to this. Like, who wants to eat a W tonight? Who wants to eat a W?
After I say one thing, I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go. Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight? How many eat a W tonight?
Yeah, come in.
That's not all.
Let's eat one. Let's eat one. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Hey, look, I like the passion. I like the fire. I'm just a little confused by the execution. And if you watch the video, his teammates do not exactly seem to be fired up by it either. I mean, listen back to it. Do you hear anybody responding? They don't look fired up. They don't sound fired up.
That's a W. That's E1. That's E1. That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight? I'm going to eat a W tonight.
Yeah, boy. Come in. That's not all.
Yeah, why not? Cap? I guess so. I guess I'll eat a W tonight. How many of you want to eat a hammer tonight?
How many of you want to eat a
hammer? Hammering that's going on right now outside my studio? How many of you want to eat a hammer tonight?
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Seriously, there's some serious construction going on. It's either right above me or right next to me. How many of you want to eat a hammer tonight?
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
But so they didn't seem too fired up. So that pregame talk was one of the more bizarre things I've heard in quite some time. At least until I heard Cam Newton's postgame presser. Now, the Panthers, you'll recall, traded away Kelvin Benjamin. So they needed somebody to step up. And Devin Funchess did that yesterday. Funchess had 5 receptions, 86 yards. And Cam was really impressed with Funchess.
You know, yeah, we just lost a great player. But nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
Huh? Dude, I thought asking your teammates if they wanted to eat a W was weird. And then you've got Cam saying that the Titanic still has to go.
You know, yeah, we just lost a great player, but nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
I don't know if he was reaching for that's like rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, or I'm not even exactly sure what analogy he was looking for. Hey, Cam, I mean, you know what happened to the Titanic, right? You do recall what happened to the Titanic, right? You saw the whole movie, right, Cam? Or did you stop right around the time Jack and Rose hooked up in that car?
Iceberg, right ahead!
I mean, sure, we lost a great player. We lost a great player. But nevertheless, the Hindenburg still needs to fly.
The Titanic still has to go.
Yes, we traded Kelvin. But I'm still going to take these wings made of feathers and wax, and will fly straight into the sun. Saying that the Titanic still has to go
is really weird.
Really weird. Probably even more weird than how many of you want to eat a W tonight? But I'll tell you what's not weird. The fact that the Los Angeles Rams traveled across the country and smashed the New York Giants 51-17. Yes, the Los Angeles Rams hung a half a hundred on the Giants in their place. The Rams. Look, I know the Giants aren't good, but the Rams were not supposed to be this good, at least not this soon. But they're 6-2. The 2017 Rams have already outscored the 2016 Rams, and we're only halfway through the season. Jared Goff, 14 of 22, 311 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. This guy wasn't even on the field at this time last year, and now he looks like Joe Montana. The offense scored on 8 of its first 9 possessions. The defense forced 3 turnovers. The special teams blocked a punt in the third quarter. I had really high expectations for Sean McVay, but this dude truly is a prodigy. Like, he's a genius. He's brilliant. To be doing all of this in his first season as a head coach at age 31... I mean, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I think the Rams are for real. And that's pretty much unreal. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of football left, but it's not that early. I also know that the Rams are tied for the second best record in the NFC. They've won their last 3 by a combined score of 111-34. So they're not just beating teams, they're jacking them up. They're crushing them. I also know it was the Giants that they just played, and the Giants are a complete and utter disaster. Who but the Giants would allow the Rams not only to execute a first down on 3rd and 33, but to score on 3rd and 33?
3rd and 33 at the Rams 48. They run a screen left for Woods. Cuts to his right. Woods to the 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Rams! Robert Woods on a 3rd and 33 goes 52 yards on a slip screen.
Catch the ball within a yard of the line of scrimmage and just sprints through the defense. No leverage on the football. The backside of the defense over-pursued. Some looked like they were stuck in quicksand there.
Wow. Let me translate that for you. They quit. Ram it. All right, let's be fair for a minute. I'm not going to say that I saw an NFL team quit yesterday, but I'm not sure what's worse. Gavin, bring that song back up. I like that. It's kind of catchy. I don't know if you've heard that song before. Ram it. I'm not sure what's worse. The Giants quitting and playing like that, or the Giants not quitting and playing like that. And if that was the result of their very best efforts, maybe they should just quit. Remember, G-Men, when the going gets tough, the tough quit. When life gives you lemons, quit. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you quit. Just quit. Quit it. But then again, how can that team quit, Alvin, when Ben McAdoo is coming out with molten lava takes like this one?
Would you say them at halftime?
Wait for it. A little longer. Ben?
What did you see on the 30,
Benji.
33
play? Uh-oh! I want to be very, very clear about this. We've got issues here. Technical issues, computer issues. That was not Alvin's computer going out. That was not a technical issue. That was not a glitch with your radio or your stream. That was his answer to the question, what was said at halftime? And the answer was, followed by staring blankly. Listen to that again.
Would you say them at halftime?
Ben? Ben? Jamin?
What did you see on the third and 33 play?
Hey, look, I can't tell if maybe dude didn't hear the question. I can't tell if maybe he got lost in the answer. Or if maybe he didn't want to answer it. Or that was his answer. Whatever it was, in any case, that was a terrible look. Just another in a long line of terrible looks for McAdoo this year. But I'm not here to beat up on Ben McAdoo. That's not what this is about. This is about the Rams. Giving the Rams some freaking credit. They're 6-2. 6-2.
Credit. I mean,
they're in first place in the NFC West. They're close to being a playoff lock. They're like, dare I say, a legitimate Super Bowl threat. And if this happens, when this happens, you don't just give Sean McVay the Coach of the Year award, because I already said they should have given that to him already. You don't just give him the Coach of the Year award. You give this guy a gold jacket right now. Give him a gold jacket right now. That's how sharp that guy is. That's how smart he is. They've got weapons all over the field, and they're using them. Ram it. Hey, Ben, what do you have to say for yourself? Russ, you tell me, what was your favorite moment from the NFL weekend? I'll even put it out there to you. What was your favorite moment of the NFL weekend? Was it Jameis Winston firing his team up before the game by licking his fingers and shaping them like a W and asking, who wants to eat a W tonight?
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
Was it that? Like, you notice, I've never done a poll on Twitter. I should do that poll. What was your favorite moment from the NFL weekend? Jameis asking, who wants to eat a W tonight?
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
Cam Newton saying, we lost a great player, but nevertheless, the Titanic still has to go.
The Titanic still has to go.
Or Ben McAdoo, when asked what he said to his team at halftime, and responded simply with, what, Ben? Ben? Hello, Ben?
Ben, what did you see on the third?
What do you mean, what did I see? I just told you. I haven't even gotten yet to AJ Green going chokehold on Jalen Ramsey. What was your favorite moment from the NFL weekend? At Mike in Buffalo's Inn on Twitter, he writes, live, lick, and prosper. Thanks, Jameis Winston.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Again, even better, you have to understand, he's not just asking how many want to eat a W tonight. He's licking his fingers, which are shaped in the form of a W. You have to listen to the whole thing, Alvin, one more time from the start. Not just the question, but the sound of him licking his W.
After I say one thing, I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight? How many eat a W tonight?
Come in.
Let's eat one. Look at me. Let's eat one. How many want to eat a W tonight? At fake K Winslow tweets, was that a speech by Jameis Winston? It sounded like one of the drunk calls to your podcast voicemail.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
I'm not even sure it sounded that good. And Jameis was sober on the field. They've been disappointing this year.
That's a W.
Let's go to the phone. Salt Lake City, first call today. Scott in Salt Lake, you made it in. Scott, what's up? How are you?
Hello, Jim. Hey. A longtime fan of yours. Hope you had a great weekend. But I just wanted to say, you know, props to the Rams, and it does not suck to be Sean McVay right now. Dude has got a smoking hot girlfriend.
Great take, Scott. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I'm not one to talk about somebody else's woman. But yeah, she's attractive. Talking about UFC 217. UFC 217 goes down Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. Pretty amazing night. One monster fight after another. Three champs losing their belts, capped by GSP making his return after 4 years out of the cage and beating Michael Bisping for the middleweight title. Amazing fight, amazing story, an amazing comeback. This guy's away from the sport for that long and still comes right back and does what he does. It's impossible. But you know how this business is. You know how the world is. Just when you think that you've seen the most amazing thing ever, along comes something else that tops it, and it didn't take long. Just when you thought you had seen the fight of the year Saturday night, along came Bengals-Jags, and more specifically, A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, whatever, Rome. Just another stupid football fight. I've seen a million of them. The receiver and the corner get locked up. There's some grabbing. There's some jawing after the whistle. Maybe somebody gets caught up in somebody else's face mask. Maybe there's a slap fight. Punching a guy in the helmet's like the stupidest thing ever. All you're going to do is break your hand and not hurt the other guy. And then everybody acts like it's all some big, big deal. Well, if that's what you're thinking, then I guarantee you did not see that fight. Because I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like this on a football field. Let me set the stage. Late in the first half, Green and Ramsey have been jawing at one another for most of the game, and it's about to get real. Roll it, Alvy.
They have a timeout left if they choose to use it. They run an off-tackle play to the left instead with Mixon, which probably will be the last play of the first half. He gained a yard or two.
Whoa, A.J. Green's going after Jalen Ramsey.
There's that big fight. He wrestled him to the ground.
He grabbed him in a chokehold and slammed him to the ground.
I mean, A.J. Green slammed Jalen Ramsey to the ground. I mean, picked him up and slammed him to the ground. He's got to be ejected.
I have never in all my years in the NFL seen a player do something so bad. A.J. Green grabs Jalen Ramsey around the neck, slams him to the ground, and Jalen Ramsey wasn't even fighting back.
Jags Radio. Now it sounds like a couple of homers being totally over the top, but they weren't. I mean, that was accurate. That was fair. That was a completely fair description. And if you haven't seen that video, run, don't walk to pull it up, because it really was an all-timer. Green puts his hand on Ramsey's shoulder. Ramsey shoves him to the ground, a little bit excessive, but not really that far out of the realm of normal post-play scuffling. But then AJG went GSP. He hops up. He grabs him with something close to a rear naked choke. He pulls him down, and then he starts raining hammer fists down on Ramsey. Run the audio back one more time, Alvy.
They have a timeout left if they choose to use it. They run an off-tackle play to the left instead with Mixon, which probably will be the last play
of the first half. He gained a yard or two.
Whoa, A.J. Green's going after Jalen Ramsey.
There's that big fight. He wrestled him to the ground.
He grabbed him in a chokehold and slammed him to the ground.
I mean, they are A.J. Green slammed Jalen Ramsey to the ground. I mean, picked him up and slammed him to the ground. He's got to be ejected.
I have never in all my years in the NFL seen a player do something so bad. A.J. Green grabs Jalen Ramsey around the neck, slams him to the ground, and Jalen Ramsey wasn't even fighting back.
I mean, he put him in the ground. He put that man in the ground. He absolutely put him in the ground. I have never seen a receiver handle a DB like that. I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody handle anybody like that. Pretty amazing move. Flawless victory. The only thing missing was Joaquin's music and Bruce Buffer declaring a winner. Now, I know that everyone's going to say that this is not the A.J. Green they know, that this is not like him, and I'd agree. Just like I can't condone what Green did at all, there's no place for that outside the octagon, but I've got to admit, on some level, I'm kind of impressed. Again, I don't condone it, but that was a hell of a takedown. And then when he got to the ground, he got into the ground and pound with lightning speed. I mean, I had no idea he had that kind of game on the ground. After he put his man in the ground. As you can imagine, Ramsey's teammates were not happy. Barry Church, for one, was not nearly as impressed with A.J. Green.
He snuck him to begin with, you know, trying to choke him out from behind. I mean, that's just a coward move. But, you know, they both got ejected. And we went out there and finished the fight and took the W home. So, I mean, they lost on both ends.
Calling it a, quote, coward move. And then going scoreboard's pretty strong. Pretty strong. The Bengals, on the other hand, as you'd imagine, had their guys back. And Adam Jones was the first guy to jump in there. Quote, some bleep you need to keep on the field. And some bleep you don't bring on the field, regardless of what it is. And then he added, man, I love Adam Jones. His quotes are just the best. He added, quote, I'm not going to get into verbatim what he said to AJ and how everything happened, but he'll get what he asked for. It all comes around. It always comes around. Just watch what you say and be respectful to people. You never know what happens. You never know who you're going to play with. You never know who you're going to see again. I'm going to leave that at that. End quote. I don't know, Pac. That sounds like a threat to me. That definitely sounds like a threat to me. Gotta love Adam Jones also saying, be respectful to people. And you never know who you're going to see again. I'm going to leave it at that. And don't think for a second that Ramsey doesn't want to see Green again. He does. ASAP. Stat. Green was escorted off the field, and according to reports, Ramsey was spotted trying to get into the visitor's locker room for some payback, only to be restrained by security. And reportedly was heard yelling that he was going to find Green once security released him. Pretty incredible. So, exactly what happened? What made a guy like A.J. Green, regarded as one of the more laid-back guys and calmer guys in the league, snap like that? A.J., what the hell was that all about?
It's football. You know, things get a little rough out there. I didn't mind that. But when you start just trying to take cheap shots when I'm not looking and stuff like that, man, that's when I got to defend myself, and I'm not going back down from anybody.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. He's not going to back down from anybody. In fact, you'll take down anybody and put them in the ground. I think you made that message loud and clear. Let the word go forth. From this time and place, there is a line with A.J. Green. And if you cross that line, you'll get body slammed and punched repeatedly. So the question, is this the end of this? Based on those involved, and based on those who weren't involved, it sure doesn't sound like it is. I'm not sure we've heard of the end of this at all. That was wild. We are joined by Philadelphia corner Jalen Mills. Jalen, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Great to have you back. Thanks so much. You're coming off that 28-point win over Denver where you dominated their offense. You're 8-1. You've won 7 straight. You've got the best record in the league. How is life for Jalen Mills and the Philadelphia Eagles right now? Break it down for me.
It's a good thing that we have the bye now, you know, kind of get to enjoy the win more than 24 hours. So it's really good now. But for sure. You know what I mean? It's great. You know what I mean? We've just been sticking to the process and sticking to our game plan, trusting our coaches and trusting the players around us.
Now, you're putting together a great, great season. I want to get into that in 1 second. But from the outside, it seems like that defense is playing with so much confidence right now. How would you describe the attitude and the approach of the defense?
I mean, just staying aggressive. You know what I mean? Guys out there, you know, just playing our style of football. You know, not being timid. You know, putting it all on the line. You know, regardless of whatever the situation may be, whatever the play call may be. You know what I mean? And really, you know, what it comes down to is guys not being selfish. You know what I mean? Whether it's a D lineman knowing on a certain call he's going to have to take on a double team to free up a linebacker on a run, or whether it's Malcolm going down having played a nickel, knowing if, you know, sometimes he wants to go back and play safety. You know, just guys not being really selfish and just putting it on the line for the defense.
Jalen Mills joining us. You know, in terms of that, the fact that you guys are not selfish, the fact that you guys are selfless, as evidence of that, when you were named the Defensive Player of the Week after that huge game against San Francisco, you dedicated the award to your defensive teammates. So first off, what did it mean for you to receive that honor, and then how good did it feel to share it with your teammates?
I mean, it was crazy. I walked into the defensive back meeting room, and Malcolm and a couple other guys were telling me congratulations. And I thought they were just talking about, you know, me being named captain for the coin toss for this Denver game. But, no, they were saying that I got named, you know, Defensive Player of the Weekend. You know, I was just – all I can say is I was blessed to be a part of that and receive that award. And, I mean, like I said, I give it, you know, a lot of it to my D-line. You know, I mean, also those veteran guys in the secondary, you know, helping me with film studying, and then those guys, you know, on the D-line getting pressure to the quarterback and making that guy having to get that ball out of his hand, you know, very quick.
Jalen, that's pretty funny. Like, damn, these dudes are making a pretty big deal out of me being a captain for the coin toss, right?
Yeah, it was crazy.
So the win over San Francisco included you returning an interception, 37 yards for a TD. You'd been studying film all week long, obviously. You broke down that route in particular. Can you take me through the play? What did you see on that play?
Yeah, just got a motion from the tight end. You know, ended up staying on the single receiver side on Pierre Garçon. Knowing that Pierre Garçon was the best route runner and also, you know, best receiver on the team, and they always like to work him on those on the backside of 3x1, and I mean, kind of got a slight stem inside from him, and knowing as soon as I got that, you know, just watching film, that it was only two ways he was going to break, and it was either going to be on a dig or it was going to be on an out route, and just trusting my break, trusting my feed, and as soon as he broke out, you know, I just jumped the route.
All right, now you took it all the way to the house, obviously, and supposedly that was your first TD since high school, and some of your teammates and coaches have been on you for your return skills. So what were you thinking on that return, and then how'd that feel to get back into the end zone finally?
Actually, I was running down the sideline. I seen all those offensive linemen. I was actually about to go out of bounds, and then something at the last minute just clicked in my head, and I was like, these guys been grilling me all week about my return skills. I got to get in the end zone. I won't hear the last of it. So just ended up cutting back, you know, set up a couple good blocks, and ended up diving in the end zone at the last minute. Felt pretty good.
Jalen Mills joining us. You know, when you have an offense and the offense is doing what it's doing as a defense, when you see Carson Wentz, for instance, making some of the plays he's making, extending drives, frustrating opposing defenses, how much does that fire up you as a defense?
Man, that, for one, offenses, they're just, I mean, regardless of whatever we're doing, whether it's pass the ball, run the ball, it doesn't matter. And then when you got a guy like Carson who's escaping the pocket, it looks like the pocket is collapsing, and see him squeeze out and on a third and long run for 15 yards to get a first down, or converting with his arm. I mean, he's just playing out of control right now. And, I mean, we love it. I mean, we're excited about it. And us as defensive players, you know, we're supposed to sometimes, you know, as soon as we get the game plan and we get the correct fixes with our defensive coordinator and our position coaches, you know, you see a lot of defensive players start to stand up and start watching that offense just to see what Carson is going to do.
Jalen Mills joining us for a few more moments. That's amazing praise. You know, you look at how far you've come in such a relatively short period of time. You go back to your high school playing days, in fact. Aaron Fletcher, who coached high school ball at Lancaster back in Texas, said that he first approached you about being a DB – by saying that you'd be doing everything that the offense had to do, only doing it backwards. He also said the one thing he knew about you, quote, if you tell him he can't do something, he will do everything he can to prove you wrong, end quote. So when you get a challenge like that, or when somebody says you can't do something, how do you generally go about responding to it?
You got to kind of put it as a challenge, you know. But at the same time, you accept it, but you can't try to overwhelm yourself with the challenge. You know what I mean? You just have to take it day by day, and work on the little bitty things. So when that challenge arrives, you know you're ready for it. You know, you get a lot of times people get challenges and they just try to get it over with and get it done really, really fast as soon as they get the challenge, but you don't have a game plan for it, or sometimes you're not equally prepared, or you know, just those type of things. So just try to take a little bit at a time, you know, regardless of whatever the challenge is, you know, try to get a game plan, map out the best ways possible for me to when that challenge comes, you know, I can overcome it and I can accept it and be my best at it.
Jalen Mills, my guest. All right, so what about playing Philadelphia? I mean, you'll tell me, we've got our process. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves. There's a lot of football still to be played. But Philadelphia Eagle fans are, man, they're feeling it. They're hyped. They're excited. They haven't seen anything like this in a long time. What's it like to play in that town? And then do you feel that intensity or that passion from Eagle fans and how badly they want it too?
I mean, it's crazy. You know what I mean? The energy in the stadium's crazy. The energy from the players is crazy, from the coaches, from the fans, everything. It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? I can't really even explain it, the feeling, but for sure, it's something that that I didn't feel for sure last year, and now it's a different type of feeling. I mean, the city, you can just feel it. You know, you come in from work on Tuesday, even Monday if you want to come in early. I mean, you can just feel the different vibe from the city, and it's just nothing but very, very positive energy.
They're alive, man. They want it. They're feeling it. Last thought, when you and I spoke earlier this season, we talked about the fact that you were overlooked coming out of college, but you always had this confidence about what you could do in the NFL if you got the opportunity. Then you're named the Defensive Player of the Week. You're starting to get some run as a possible Pro Bowler. Do you feel then like you have established yourself and you've proven everybody wrong?
Man, I'm just still working. You know what I mean? As far as Pro Bowl and no things go, you know, we'll see, you know, where that is, you know, towards the end of the season. But right now, you know, that's not the focus right now. The focus right now is at the end of the year. You know what I mean? We want to be standing on that stage holding up that trophy. You know what I mean? Having that confetti fly down on us. But at the same time, like you said, it's always with us. It's trusting the process and one game at a time when we get a time. So, I mean, that's my whole thought process. Just one week at a time and just keep grinding it out and playing at a high level each and every week for my team.
Like I said, I'm looking for a Buckeye fan somewhere. ATL, Susan in Atlanta. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Jim,
how are you?
Irby needs to go. It's time. He's going to ruin Ohio State just like he ruined Florida, and this is his fault. There was absolutely no excuse. For whatever reason, he can't get the team ready to play the big game. They squeaked by Penn State. That was kind of a fluke, in my opinion, and I totally expected them to go into Iowa and have trouble because this is his pattern, 31-0 against Clemson. No excuse for that. And the committee, I mean, throwing them softballs. They should have never been ranked number two going into the season. That was part of the problem, too, just because your pedigree and your resume. No, Irby needs to fix it. It falls at his feet. Old Irby.
Susan in the ATL. And she was all business, right? Not, hi, Jim. I like your show. I'm a longtime fan. She went right to it. Irby needs to go. Let's go to Cleveland this time. Luke in Cleveland. Luke, what's going on?
Hey, Jim. Listen, Susan took a little bit of my take, like Iowa took a big part of my heart. But you know who took more of my heart? You know who crushed it is Irv, okay? He is someone who I haven't trusted. That's true. I go back Ohio State, not far as far as Woody, but I go back to Tressel. And Tressel at least had this steely resolve that you saw in his eyes. Irv is a little bit soft. I'm sorry. That may be an unpopular opinion. I think he's a little bit soft. I think that what he needed to do was to get his team psyched and not ready for the big surprise that he knew was coming. Iowa was tough, all right? Iowa did have some, you know, what's to them, cojones, and we did not. I was very, very disappointed. Jim, I had my snacks ready. I had my beer ready. I had everything ready, and I almost couldn't eat. I almost couldn't drink. First play of the game, okay? I could not take it.
It looked nothing like spending an entire week getting ready to see your team play, settling down with your pops and your snacks, settling in the first play of the game, you get pick sixed. Man, how'd that taste, brother? Let's go to Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo. What's up, Rick? How you doing?
Thanks for letting me back in, Jim. Loved hearing Jim Kelly on the show last week. He's the perfect ambassador for our great city. Tough, humble, and resilient. And despite last week's loss to the Jets, I remain optimistic the Bills will finally end their playoff drought. Now, Jim, let me apologize for that ATP from a few weeks back. It was juvenile, ill-timed, and simply not very good. But what else would you expect coming from Dan, not in Denver? But I can't blame you, Daniel. You got to try something, because you sure as hell can't make a decent phone call. And one more thing, Jim. I was finally able to catch up on the podcast over the weekend. Never knew Dirk Nowitzki was such a good dude, and the conversation with Dana White was epic. But let's be honest, it's time to pull the plug on that answering machine. If I wanted to hear complete trash, I'd pull up Vic and NoCal calls on Stucknut. And no surprise, Victor is a constant contributor to the voicemail. Maybe he finally realized he no longer has the game for the big stage. But probably not. He's too friggin' dense to figure anything out. War Deshaun Watson making a speedy recovery. War Calvin Benjamin staying slim and trim. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Rick in Buffalo, rack him. I don't know. Every time I hear that guy, I think that he's just coming in to sound like Jeff in Richmond.
Good night now!
Clones, as always, thank you so much for listening. And be sure to check out the Jim Rome podcast tomorrow. Green Beret. Nate Boyer is our guest for episode 12. See you then. We're out.